and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. My name is David Harris. I am the gospel preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ right here in Stephenville, Texas. And I'm here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher at the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Along with us is our good friend Frank Briscoe. He is the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ. He'll be running our boards and our phones today and making a few comments as we go through this program. And we think we've got an excellent program for you today, one that is very timely, one is I think is very needed. So does Tom, so does Frank. Because we are in the middle of an election season, and we've had a lot of people ask us, how do we know who to vote for? How do we know what to look for in these political candidates? And there is one issue that is going to face each and every one of these candidates that is of most importance, and we must know the answer that these candidates have. Does our candidate believe that abortion is right or is a right? And one of the reasons that we need to know this is because in order for us to be a righteous nation under God, we need to be able to take away the reproach of anything that resembles murder or the elimination of a life that God has created. And along with this, I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture. They're just very short, but you can write these down and look them up. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, Jeremiah writes, he says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." David would also write in the 113th Psalm, in verse number 13, "You have covered me in my mother's womb." Now, one of the reasons that we want to bring this up is because last week, one of the political candidates, one of the ones that running for president, one of the front runner in the Republican Party, as a matter of fact, was asked a question. And whether the question was a loaded question or a hypothetical question or whatever, it really doesn't matter. Donald Trump was asked if a woman should be responsible for an illegal abortion. And Donald Trump at first said that he thought that there should be punishment associated with a woman that underwent an illegal abortion, but later he walked that back. But we want to take a little issue with him walking it back. First of all, the key word here is illegal. And if a woman is participating in an illegal abortion, then it should be prosecuted, whether it was the doctor or whether it was a woman. Now, later on, a couple of days later, he was asked by another interviewer what he thought about abortion. And was he pro-life or was he pro-choice? And Donald Trump said that he was pro-life. And the interviewer then asked him, said, "Well, does that mean that you believe that abortion is murder?" And he said, yes, he did believe that abortion was murder. Now, one of the reasons that we bring this up, we're not trying to promote any particular candidate, but this issue of abortion is going to come up with every single one of these candidates, and we need to know where they stand, because we are going to endure severe repercussions one way or the other for the way that we vote based upon their take on abortion. So with that introduction, I'm going to throw it to Tom. He's got a few introductory statements that he wants to make, and then we're going to get right back into this again, and we're going to ask a question. We're going to get a Bible answer. Abortion, is it a woman's right or is it murder? And we'll give you the answer to that in just a moment.
We're airing tonight on KOME 95.3 out of FM out of Glen Rose. We're also airing tonight on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock. And KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. And so if you're interested in the internet radio, that's where to go, thegospelradionetwork.org. Now this program will also be re-aired on the Gospel Radio Network on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Now our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now remember, on the Gospel Radio Network, there is also available for you a chat box that you can get involved in through the chat room. But more importantly, there is a toll-free number to call. This is a live call-in program. And if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You're also available on our webpage. There's a podcast available where if you go to the bottom right-hand corner at the RSS feed, you can sign up for a podcast, which will give you an alert anytime a new podcast comes, and you can listen to this program anytime you like. There's also a Twitter account, hashtag Ask Harrison Moore. You can also go on, we're being viewed today also on Periscope. Some people like to watch a live program, and so if you'll go and search out Harrison Moore, you'll be able to follow us also on Periscope. There is also an email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to David's inbox and my inbox, and we'll be happy to address any question or comment that you might have. But tonight we're interested in you calling in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. A moment ago, David left us with a question. Abortion. Is it a woman's right or is it murder? And the question we might also ask that pertains to this, what does the Word of God tell us about this? And what is at stake for our country and for the church with regard to abortion? Then when we think about this idea of abortion, is it a woman's right or is it murder? That is where the crux of the question takes place, doesn't it?
Amen. And we need to have the right answer here. And it's not going to be right because the Harrison Moore Show says it is. It's not going to be right because Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders says it is. It's going to only be right if God says it is.
That's right. So when we think about this, what is the real question? Now, we are told that whether a woman wants to have an abortion or not is nobody's business but hers. They're saying that it is an individual choice. And those who argue for abortion, you know, are a lot of people like the Abortion Rights League, Planned Parenthood, and so on and so forth. A lot of people are voting for or wanting this individual choice. But David, terminology is critical. and by the use of carefully selected terminology, they have been successful in diverting attention away from the real issue. And David, what is the real issue before us?
Well, is this a choice that people can make? Is it right? Is it wrong? And if it is right, right based upon who? If it is wrong, wrong based upon who? And we need to have the answer. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, you've heard what men have had to say. Mm-hmm. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And so we've got to go to what God has to say. Now, the real question, the real issue here, is it a woman's right or is it murder to have an abortion? Mm-hmm. And there are differing opinions as to whether it's right or wrong. And so now they say that a woman should decide, or they say that they are pro-choice. And when they say that they are pro-choice, that we are anti-choice for reproductive freedom and family planning, they also say, shouldn't a woman have the right to plan her own family? No one else should be able to tell a woman what to do with her own body. And they argue this point, that the government shouldn't force a woman to have a child against her will. And even if you do not personally agree, if a woman does not want to have a child, that is still going to be her choice. And Tom, by framing the discussion on abortion in terms of women's rights and choices, they have been able to have a significant impact on public opinion and public policy.
Exactly right. You know, David, and they seem to always want to play on the emotions of the people. They want to point to the hardships of women. They want to talk about rape and incest, and they want to talk about things such as a woman not having the money to take care of the child. So a woman should have the right to choose whether or not she has a child or not after she's pregnant. Now, David, you know, the right to choose whether or not to have a child, you know, I think they should have thought about that before they had sex, right?
Well,
you know, there are ways to not have a child without murdering the child in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And so there would be a time to make the right choice, right?
Sure. But all of these arguments that we have mentioned, they're all part of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardship cases, the pregnant women because of rape or incest, it's all deception. And Satan is the master of this deception. And for those of you who have your Bibles, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. I want you to see the deceptive nature of Satan. He says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." So the devil is a master at this, of deceiving, changing terminologies. And the fact of the matter is, over 90% of all abortions that happen in the United States of America are elective. Tom,
so
that's over 90%.
And so that means they have nothing to do with rape or incest or even the health of the mother.
No.
It's just because they choose not to have the child. In other words, they choose to murder the child. You know, promoters of abortion are not pro-choice on the issue at all. You know, people, you know, it's interesting to me, David, there are so many people out there in the world who do not really want the people to understand what's taking place
mm-hmm.
here. And so if they were really pro-choice, if they wanted the mother to really understand what's going on and make the right decision, they would give them a whole lot more information. The trouble is they're not giving them enough information about what's taking place. And as a result, they aren't really making the choice. It's those who are involved in the aborting that's really making the choice for them,
right,
because of a lack of information.
That's very, very true. And Tom, before we advance on into this program, I want to get back to what Donald Trump said at the first of the program. He said that a woman should be punished for having an illegal abortion. Now, I want us to think about that for just a moment, because the key word there is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking and discussing this at the beginning of this show and putting all the preparation together, you mentioned the fact that it is illegal two times when it is illegal. It is illegal according to the state law, but it's always been illegal according to God. So there's two illegalities here. And with this issue of illegal, we have become a nation, a lawless nation, that doesn't care anything about the legalities of the law, much less the legalities of what God said is acceptable and unacceptable.
You know, and it's not only on abortion that this is taking place, is it, David?
No,
What about the illegal immigrants? Mm-hmm. Illegal immigrants
again,
that are coming in.
Again, the key word there is illegal.
And so we're living in a society, and what's so bad, though, David, about illegal abortion, not only that it's against God's law, and that's the most important thing, but we have people who are also violating not only God's law, as you mentioned, but also they're breaking the laws of the land, mm-hmm, in performing this. And when people break the law, let's just say that a person murders an adult person, takes a gun out and shoots an adult person, that would be what? Illegal, right?
Yes.
To murder. You would expect then that person who pulled the trigger to be guilty of breaking the law and then therefore punishable. Is not a woman also who performs or allows an abortion to be performed illegally, why would she then not be responsible for breaking the law?
Well, it would be absolutely no different whatsoever than somebody going out and hiring someone else to kill a person for them. There are two people responsible for that, mm-hmm, the one that hired and the one that pulled the trigger. And so both of them should be punished. And in the case of an illegal abortion, no doubt the clinic should be punished. The doctor that performed it, or the technician, whatever you want to call them, I don't even think you have to be a doctor to perform an abortion at the Planned Parenthood clinic. But even so, that individual should be punished. But the woman who requested the murder to take place should also have to bear some consequences here.
Exactly right.
So what I said at the beginning, I think he had the answer right to begin with before he walked it back.
You know, like so many, they kind of do a little crawfishing, don't they?
Yes.
Well, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about abortion. And we're talking about whether or not a woman has the right to kill a child in the womb. Now, what our world likes to say is that she has rights to abort a fetus. Now, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems, David, is the defining of terms. And also not giving the young ladies or old ladies who are wanting an abortion enough information about what is to take place. You know, Dave, when we talk about the information that needs to be given to these young ladies for the purpose of making a good decision, they aren't being told about the dangers of abortion. There are ladies who die,
yes,
because of abortion. They're not being told the traumatic effect it may have on their emotional well-being. Most of us, David, understand about women who have gone through this, and they are traumatized for what they've done for the rest of their life. And a lot of it is because they did not really understand what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. And just before the program again, you know, Frank and I were talking about counseling people that have gone through this. And yes, we have. And Frank, as we mentioned just a moment ago, these women never get over this.
It's a guilt that they continue to bear.
Yes.
And it leaves them with a feeling of, what I have done, is it something I can be forgiven? And then everything that they, as you talked about, whatever they come in contact with in life, mm-hmm. it simply reminds them. It is an emotional scar that they have to bear the rest of their life.
And that scar will not go away.
And it will not go away.
It just flat will not go away. But there are other reasons as to why these promoters of abortion are not pro-choice on this issue at all, because they don't want women, they don't want the public to know, they don't want them to have the information about prenatal development. You know, we were talking earlier how that 70, back in the 70s, abortion was promoted as a form of birth control.
Yeah, people didn't know what it was.
They didn't know it, and this is the way they were brought up. This is the way they were taught, and they didn't have any information. And then they started coming out with pictures of these babies in the womb, and they said, whoa, wait a minute, what in the world is going on here? And they began to see that this wasn't just a bunch of unformed tissue. This was a human being that was being grown in the womb here, and they did not have the information about the prenatal development.
Exactly. You know, and they did not even want the father to have a say in this scenario. They don't want to even tell the father about it. And David, to me, one of the things that's most appalling is they oppose parental consent for minors who might need their parents' guidance to make the right choice. Can you imagine, David, say a 13-year-old girl makes a grave mistake and has sex, becomes pregnant. 13-year-old, do you think a 13-year-old emotionally is ready to make a decision like this?
No.
You know, wouldn't you think that your parents, the parents of that child, should be involved in the process?
No doubt.
It's interesting to me that there are some places, David, where you have to get parental consent just to give an aspirin to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you turn right around and say, well, we can murder a baby in your child's womb without even talking to the parents about it. Something is really wrong here, David. And the reason they do all this because they want to keep from the people the truth so they can't make a proper decision about this.
That is very, very true. And for those of you who are listening out there that would like to call in, we would love to have your comments or your questions about this. We're going to get into this, and we're going to also bring in more scripture to show what God has to say about what we're talking about here. And of course, I think most of you already know what God's opinion of this is, what God's command on this is. And so we're setting this up by showing you what the public wants us to believe. And what we need to understand is what our candidates need to believe before we vote for them.
Exactly right. And so, you know, David, there's been a lot of confessions of former abortionists telling of the deception and greed of the multi-billion-dollar industry. You know, David, when you go to some businesses, let's say you've got a front-end alignment business, there are a lot of businesses that are kind of underhanded, and they will try to sell you a front-end alignment or need some new struts for your car when you don't really need them for the purpose of making money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what the abortion clinics are doing as well. Instead of telling them the whole picture, giving them choices about alternative adoptions and assistance, they bypass all that and say, here, have an abortion, or doing what is best for the business instead of what is best for the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and David, they themselves will tell you that it's all about the money.
They just want to run these women through the abortion mill, take their money. That's the bottom line. Now, all of the play on words is used to justify abortion simply diverts attention from the real question. And the real question is this, Tom: is abortion the taking of a human life? That's the real question. Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out. 1-855-Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we're asking the question, is abortion the taking of a human life, or is it not?
Exactly right. So, we're all anti-choice when it comes to a lot of things, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Murder. Would we allow a woman to take her 2-year-old son to a clinic and have him killed? Well, most certainly not. So then, we should have freedom to choose things only on the basis of being right. You don't have the right to choose to do something wrong.
Exactly.
We have a caller on the line. If you'll give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Hey, guys. This is Kristen.
Uh-huh. Hey, Kristen.
Hey. Kristen McNichol.
Yes. Right,
what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting. I watched a documentary at some point, and they were talking, when they make medical books, a lot of them will leave out, when they're doing the pictures, you know, of abortions, they won't even put a baby in the womb on the picture. They just have the forceps going into this empty womb, and all the other pictures, they never depict that there's actually a human being in the womb when they're doing this.
This was a documentary that you saw on television?
Yes, it was a couple years ago. But it was somebody who had part in making these books for the medical school.
And so they take the baby out of the womb, and they show the forceps going into an empty womb to kill a baby that is really not there.
Right, and that's how they desensitize the med students to what they're actually doing and the murder they're committing. That, you know, they've just seen it in the books. There's nothing there.
Wow.
But it's obviously a whole lot different when you get in there and you're having to pull a baby out.
Wow. Well, that is just nearly unbelievable. But they go to great lengths to avoid telling what they don't want the woman to know and telling what they don't want the public to know.
Exactly. And that just makes it easier for them. But I just thought that was interesting. That's always been something that has stuck in my head. So.
It is very, very interesting. Okay. Yeah. Very interesting.
Well, we appreciate you calling, Kristen.
All right.
Thanks for the info.
Thank you very much.
You know,
good call. Great call.
You know, and David, that really shows you how underhanded this whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the passage you read a moment ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where don't be surprised when the devil tries to disguise himself. The English Standard Version says to disguise himself into something that he's really not. And what the abortionate clinics are trying to do is to disguise this into something that it's really not.
They're trying to make out like it is not a human life. They have gone to great lengths. They call it a tissue. They call it unformed tissue. They call it a fetus, as if the word fetus is going to take it away from what is actually true. And so we've got to really, really pay attention to terminology here, because terminology is always the ones that get to change the terminology are going to point things in their direction and to their advantage.
And so the real question, David, is it right to take a human life? Is it right to kill a baby? You know, we're going to prove now, especially from the Bible, that the child, they call it fetus, in the mother's womb, the Bible says, is indeed a child, a baby. And so, therefore, when one kills what the world says is fetus and God says is a baby, well, we have to ask the question then, is it wrong to kill a baby? But they use the word what?
Fetus.
Fetus. They use the word abortion, fetus. So they don't think about child, murder. It's fetus, abortion. And again, as Christian says, to desensitize us from really knowing what's taking place there.
Absolutely. So this is where the issue lies, and this is exactly what these abortion proponents refuse to discuss. Is it killing a baby? Is it the taking of a human life? And again, I go back to that interview, the two interviews that I witnessed Donald Trump going through, and it's not just that Donald Trump is going to go through the all of these candidates at some time or another going through. He just got hit first. That's
exactly.
All.
And
when he said when they asked him point blank, are you pro life? He said yes. He said, does that mean that you believe that abortion is murder? And again, he said, yes. Mm-hmm. And so he has taken a stand here that some others have refused to take a stand on. So the fundamental question, is it right, the taking of a human life, the killing of a baby? And this is where the issue lies. It's exactly what the abortion proponents refuse to discuss. And when they get somebody that will answer a question directly instead of skirting around the whole thing, they get giddy about it on the media and the news.
And so the fundamental question is not who decides. Mm-hmm. It is, when does human life begin? That's what we need to be addressing. Mm-hmm. And do we have the right to take life? And if so, why? And when do we have the right to do that? So that's the real question. It's not that we have the right to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a child or is it not? And so, David, here's the question. When does human life begin?
So, again, we want to reiterate this. Who decides? Is it who decides? When does a human life begin, and do we have the right to take that life? And if we do, why do we have that right?
Frank, you got something for us?
Yes, I want to make a comment here. One of the most familiar documents, perhaps in all of our part of the world, is what's called the Ten Commandments. You go to the book of Exodus, beginning in chapter 20, lists the Ten Commandments, and then it continues. And when you get to verse 22 of the following chapter, and if men strive together and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit departs, and yet no harm follow, he shall be surely fined according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follow, then shall he give life for life.
Life now, for life.
And he refers to it as a child. If she is hurt and is with child and loses that child.
And what was that verse, Frank?
That's Exodus chapter 21, verse 22.
You know, that's a pretty important verse to what we're talking about as to when life begins.
Mm-hmm.
God said life begins in the womb. If that were not the case, then why all the punishment?
True.
Life for life. Life is in the womb. But what do many of the pro-abortionists believe with regard to life, David?
It's tissue.
Tissue. And when do they think life begins?
Well, that just depends on who you want to talk mm-hmm. to and how bad they want to have the abortion. And we will get into that just a little bit later as to how far along even our governmental officials believe that you ought to be able to kill this child in the womb or even out of the womb. Now, they are arguing for a killing of the child out of the womb, and they call it postpartum abortion, which is a total misnomer of the whole thing. But what? Let's get back to what we were talking about in the question that you asked just a moment ago. Now, the number to call again is 1-855-QA-BIBLE with a question or a comment. We'd love to hear from you. We know you have an opinion here, so let us hear it. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Caller, give us your first name and your question, please. Hello?
How are y'all?
This is Rusty.
My name's Rusty.
Hey, buddy. We haven't heard from you in a while. We thought you might be sick.
Yeah, I know. I just got home. I heard y'all call my name last week.
Well, it didn't call you out.
Well, hey, look, I'm sorry.
You know, well, it might have been another Rusty.
Well, he knows
better. Another Rusty?
Well, there's bound to be one somewhere. Well, anyway, Rusty, what's on your mind?
Sure, there was, but he's dead. I know. I went to his funeral. Well, anyways, y'all talking about abortion. Last week, y'all was talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or hope. What was it last
hope.
Week?
Faith There's
or hope.
Hope?
Hope?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, here about us these three, right?
Right.
Faith, hope, and charity?
That's it.
If you ain't got no faith, you ain't got no hope.
That's true.
And if you ain't got no hope, you ain't got nothing.
That's true. Very true.
But charity, you know, I read the King James.
I do too.
And the King James translates the word charity into love.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they call it the love chapter. What, 1 Corinthians 13?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, what was y'all talking about? I just got home.
We're talking about abortion.
Y'all was talking about abortion.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's wrong. I mean, who was it God told, I knew you before you were conceived?
Exactly.
Who was that?
That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 that we read earlier.
Was it Jeremiah?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, God knows us before we're conceived.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to kill one of God's children.
Yes.
I mean, really? How can you do that and say, oh, it's just a thing?
Yeah, it's a...
How can you kill a child of God and it not matter? It might not matter to you, but you know what it does? It matters to God.
Yes, it matters to God, and I'm sure it matters to that child somewhere along the line as well, don't you? You know, we're talking about these people that say they got a choice. Well, that baby never had a choice in an abortion clinic.
Right. You know, when I was growing up, I ain't going to date myself, but back in the 60s, I used to scream at my daddy and my mama. I didn't ask to be born, right? Remember that?
Yes.
That was a Woodstock thing. And, okay, I'm trying not to date myself. I didn't ask to be born. But you know what? My little sister bragged. She's a confirmed atheist and lesbian and all this other stuff. She bragged, I didn't ask to be born. I don't believe in God. You can't call me wrong because there is no rules. And that's just, I mean, that's their mindset, right?
Agreed.
I mean, hey, you can't call me wrong. I don't believe in God. Well, anyway, she's a horrible person and thinks she ain't going to, well, wherever the bad place is. But I'm not talking about my sister. I don't understand this mindset. Here's my question.
Okay.
I do not understand this mindset. Can you please explain it to me?
Well, we are trying to come up with every excuse that people use to be able to kill a child and not have any consequences, not have to face any consequences whatsoever. And you mentioned, how can that be right? Well, you see, we have a standard of right, and it is not man. It is not man's laws. The standard of right comes from God, and if we base our laws upon His right, then we're going to be a righteous nation. But, Rusty, we have become a lawless nation because we won't even enforce the laws that we have concerning abortion. Nobody has to suffer the consequences here, and we have laws that say that they should, and yet we will not enforce the laws.
Sir, this is true. But it's not the law I'm concerned about. I'll break the law anytime the law is wrong. What I ask the question about is morals. How can you feel comfortable about doing something that you wouldn't want done to you?
Well, this is how we preface the whole program. Is we are in the middle of this election season, and the number one issue that we need to find out about each one of these candidates is, where do they stand on this issue of abortion? If they believe that it is right to kill a child in the womb, Rusty, then nothing else has any bearing here, because if you can do that, you can do anything.
Where do you draw the difference? Where do you draw the line? You know, the line in the sand that you drew at the Alamo? Where do you draw that line between right is here and left is there?
With God's word.
And you can't draw, but you know what? You can't straddle a fence because the devil owns a fence.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know this. But how can a person come to peace with themselves? Each and every one of us is supposed to have a little bit of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, what do? You cover it up? You bury it? That is my question. How can you live with your own heart?
Well, we're going to answer that question right now, Rusty, and we appreciate you calling in. You've made some good comments, and we're going to spend the next few moments talking about this very thing. All right?
I'm going to hang up and listen to you on there.
All right, appreciate it, Rusty. You know, when we think about, he says, how can people do this? You know, the Bible talks time and time again how people have become hardened in heart.
Yes.
And their feelings have become, they've become past feeling. You know, if you do something long enough and have an attitude long enough, you begin to get to a point to where you feel nothing about this. And I think that is much about where our society has come from. I believe you're looking up that passage right there, aren't you, David?
Yeah, it says 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron.
You know, that's exactly what's taking place, David. People have been doing this for so long. They've been hidden from the truth for so long that they no longer can feel. You know, Dave, I remember, for example, a person can miss worship service one time, and it, you know, it really bothers them. But the more they do something, the less it bothers them. And that's what's happening in our society. They're constantly being filled with this idea, fetus, abortion, instead of being child and murder. And over time, you get to just kind of accept it as just another form of birth control.
Right. And so then they start arguing the point, well, life doesn't begin until such and thus a date. Well, that's what man has said. Rusty very aptly pointed out to us, as we read earlier in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, that God knows us even before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And not only that, we have personality, we have productiveness, we have life that God has given there. And so now humans come along and they say, well, no, that's just tissue until a certain time. And then after that, it becomes a life. It becomes a human. Maybe after they pass the birth canal, then they become a life. But up until then, we have nothing but fetus and nothing but tissue.
You know, David, the idea, when is it a child? Well, it's a child from birth.
Mm-hmm.
David, you know, we look at the child inside the womb, and you can see now, because of all the ultrasounds and things that are going on now, you can tell early in the pregnancy whether or not this child is a male or a female.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, in doing that, that lets you know that you're able to tell that this is indeed something more than just a piece of flesh. It is a human being because it has gender,
sure,
male or female. Science can prove that. As a matter of fact, that happens pretty early in the pregnancy process, that
right,
you can tell whether or not it's a child or a male or female.
So we want to address this question: when does human life begin? We need to look at the evidence here, because the evidence, this is something that the abortionists, the proponents of abortion, they don't want us to know. But there is scientific evidence. This is not a science class, but just remember, God is the creator of this world, and we can discover the truth by studying his revelation in creation as well as the revelation in Scripture. We have some evidence here. There's a fellow by the name of Eric Hanna. I don't have a clue who this guy is. I just read about him. But he's part owner of one of the nation's largest chains of abortion clinics. And he said that he hated it when pro-lifers, according to him, would distribute pictures of fetal development, those are his words, to women who were contemplating having an abortion. And again, we need to look at the use of terminology. What terminology is the key here? And just like Kristen that called in just a moment ago, you see, pro-abortionists try to depersonalize, dehumanize, remove the humanity, the personhood of the baby by calling him a fetus or the product of conception.
David, let me read to you what one of our chat roomers said. It says, I think with some people it isn't a matter of conscience, though it is with most. But using Mike as an example, he said a couple of months ago that he never knew abortion was such a bad thing. He didn't know what was entailed until someone told him. Girls go in knowing this will kill their baby, but if people were not to know exactly how it's done, I think less would be all for abortion. Still sad that they'd do it blindly, but the procedure needs to be made more public and get rid of ignorance. And David, that is the very thing that the abortionists want to do. You know, if they were able to see how that child is killed in the womb,
mm-hmm,
they would have no part of it.
No.
And there's a movie, or a documentary called The Silent Scream. And it was a picture of an abortion taking place, and the forceps were going into the womb, and the child, and it was literally backing up away from that. And as the forceps were coming to crush the child, you could see the child open his mouth like he was screaming in fear and agony. The silent scream. If people could see things like that, they would in no way be involved in such an atrocious murder as abortion is.
Right. And so when these poor pro-abortionists try to depersonalize and dehumanize and take away the personhood of the baby by calling him a fetus or the product of conception, they would have us to believe that abortion is merely the removal of tissue or the removal of a mass of cells. And there's nothing wrong with the term fetus, Tom. It's a Latin term, but how many times do you hear someone say to a pregnant woman, "So how's your fetus doing, and what you gonna name your fetus?"
No, you know, the only that's not going to, they're going to talk about baby because it's personal.
Sure it is.
They use the word fetus probably because they don't know what that means, and so it becomes impersonal.
Well, tell us what that word means. I mean, let's just get the translated word. What is the translated word for fetus? It's baby. It's baby. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but fetus just sounds so much
more impersonal. But fetus is a Latin word for it, right?
Yes, I think so.
And
I
so they use the word fetus so that people won't know it's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, that's the whole problem here, isn't it, David? It's the idea of deception.
Sure.
Trying to make things sound not so bad as, but you know, and trying to hide the truth. How is your fetus doing? Well, I wonder if I was a call-up. And to my son and my daughter-in-law who recently had a child, and said, "Well, how's my grandfetus doing?"
Well, there's no
that
telling.
Wouldn't go over too well with me or them, I'm sure.
I doubt very seriously that it would.
But you know, David, the only difference between killing a baby in the womb or a baby in the crib is what?
The baby's older.
That is the only difference.
That is it. Now, you know, we mentioned this fella just a moment ago, Eric Hera. Now, he has a bone-chilling story that if I were the owner of an abortion mill like he was, and I was concerned about people not coming in and performing these abortions, I never would have told this story. But this is from Eric Hera himself, the guy that owns the abortion clinic. And he said, a young woman carried her infant son into a Pennsylvania abortion clinic. A year earlier, she had had an abortion. And she said, quote, "You may not remember me, but I was here last year for an abortion." And the nurse said, "Oh, yes, I remember you," said the administrator. "I'm happy for you," she said. "Good, because I'm not. I cannot stand to hold my baby. I cannot stand to hear my baby cry. I cannot stand to feed my baby. I can't even stand to touch my baby. You killed the other one. Now you can kill this one too." And with that, she put the baby into the administrator's arms and walked out the door. And the question that we would like to ask, if you can kill one, then why can't you kill the other one?
Exactly right. And that is a logical question to ask. Now, David, before we run out of time and before we draw to some concluding thoughts, I want to mention some of our additional sponsors tonight. We want to thank the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Now, David, there's also some individuals we would like to thank, the Hansons in Weatherford, the Swigerts in the Metroplex area, the Keeters in Iredale, the Forehands in Hamilton, and the Moores in Dripping Springs. Without congregations and individuals like this, David, we could not be on the radio programs giving out this information. So we want to give a big thanks to all of these who are involved. You know, David, when we think about this issue that we're talking about tonight, it's important for us to realize why it's important, especially in light of the fact of what's happening in the political arena. You know, righteousness, does it not exalt a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. If our nation is going to be the kind of people that's pleasing in the sight of God, it's not going to be because of health care or military might or anything like that. What makes a great nation is righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172 says that God's word is righteousness. And so anything that we do then as a nation that's contrary to God's will is means that we're not going to be that righteous nation that makes us great. Well, we're going to show next week very clearly from the scriptures. We've given some allusion to it today. But next week, we're going to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible condemns abortion because it is murder, and the Bible is going to show that what's in the womb is indeed a child and not just a piece of flesh.
Amen. Amen to that. We want you to tune in to make sure that you get all of the information that you can about this so that we can make some good definitive choices based upon the Word of God. After all, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And there is no doubt in my mind or God's mind either that this abortion is an absolute reproach to our people. Now, there is one thing that we'd like to finish up with, and that is God's plan of salvation. God's plan is always right.
Exactly.
And for those who want to be Christians, for those who want to go to heaven, God has a plan for you. He loved you from the womb, and he certainly doesn't want to lose you after you get older and can understand everything that you need to know about going to heaven. So he wants you to hear the word of God and believe that word, because without faith it is impossible to please him. And so with this faith we are then to repent, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We are then to confess the sweet name of Jesus before men, and then we are to be buried into that watery grave of baptism to have our sins washed away. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Now, if you haven't done that, then you need to be obedient to God's plan of salvation so that you can be one of God's children for all eternity.
You know, and if you have any questions about salvation or anything, and you'd like to contact us before our next program, all you got to do is email us, questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we'd be happy to address any concerns, any questions that you might have. We're thankful that you've been with us tonight. We pray that what we have said will help you to better understand the evil nature of what abortion is all about. David, it's nothing more than the killing, the murdering of a child, and it's time that we stood up and opposed that evil.
Amen.
But we'll talk more about this next week right here on this radio station.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tunning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.